And so he runs and he sees that coat disappear around a corner. And when he turns the corner, he sees in the doorway of an establishment that his coat's just laying there on the ground. And he noticed that there's some piles of rags. And so he picks the coat up and he's surprised that there's a young boy who's very thin, who's scared to death, and whose teeth are chattering because he's so cold. And then he notices that those piles of rags, actually each one is a child just trying to stay warm. So he brings them soup and gives them blankets. And that night he didn't sleep very well. So the first thing in the morning he goes back. And when he got back, he saw soldiers there along with a truck. And they would go shake a little pile of rags. And if that pile of rags didn't move, they would take and just throw it into the truck. And what he realized was that every night, some of these children were perishing, freezing to death. And that early in the morning, they would come remove them. And then he noticed that it wasn't just here, it was in the doorways of lots of establishments. So he flew back to Chicago and began to tell all of his friends about what he saw, all these orphans from the war. And finally, one of his friends, a missionary, said, "God's allowed you to see this. He's allowed you to understand the depth of suffering going on. And so the question is, what do you intend to do?" And he decided, "I am going to do something." He told a friend he intended to do something, and his friend wrote him out a check for $1,000 that he had prepared to help someone that was going to help orphans. And so he started an association, and within a couple of years, that association was having people sponsor children, these children, so that they could be fed and have shelter. And that organization later in the 1960s was renamed Compassion, Compassion International, which today helps sponsors more than 1.9 of the poorest children in the world. Everett Swanson saw this need, and he made a positive impact on our world. The Lord wants us to do the same thing. The Lord wants us to influence our world. You see it very clearly in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus uses two metaphors to make one point. He uses salt and light. Salt improves the taste of things. Light improves vision. And what Jesus is telling us is that as disciples of Him, that He intends that we make the world a better place. And that's what we're going to look at today as part of our theme, "Here Am I," that is living a missional life. And part of living a missional life is impacting the lives of others in tangible ways. So how can we do that? What's the scripture say? Well, if you want to make the world a better place, the first thing is, don't hide your identity. Don't hide the fact that you're a believer. We hide our identity in two ways. We hide it through silence. See, the three verses just prior to this all speak about persecution. And if there's something that causes believers to be silent about who they are, to conceal the fact that they follow the King, it's persecution. In fact, in Jesus' own life, when he healed a boy who had been blind from birth, and the Jewish officials were upset about it and questioning his parents said, "Why don't you ask him about it?" Why? Because in chapter 9, verse 22, it says his parents were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. And so Jesus, knowing that persecution has a temptation for us to be silent, he addresses it here. He says, "You're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl." He's saying, listen, it's not going to be easy to be followers of me. It's not going to be easy for you to publicly identify yourself with me. But you need to understand, you're made to shine. And you will not shine if you do not publicly embrace Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen?
Amen.
Now, there's some of you here that you may feel a little bit that way. At work, people wouldn't even know that you're a believer because you conceal it. Let me just say, you'll never make this world a better place if you hide who you are. But for most of us in America, that's not a big issue. There are other ways we have to be careful that we don't silence who we are. 100 years ago, there was something called the social gospel movement, which wanted to improve the lives of people who were orphans or widows. I mean, great ideas. The problem was they wanted to minimize the gospel. They didn't want to focus on the fact that we're sinners, that we need to be saved, that our greatest problem is spiritual. And this is a problem that will not go away. An employee of Compassion told me this, said, you know, someone told us, like, you know, I can help you raise a lot more money to do what you do if you'll just tone it down about Jesus. If you want to make a lasting impact on this world, one that extends beyond this physical life, then you cannot hide the fact that we're following the King. You cannot be ashamed of the fact that He is our Lord. We cannot avoid the fact that He is our Savior. He is our only hope. Jesus told His disciples, He says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Nothing of lasting value. And so we have to be careful that even in our day, that you think about it, there are many organizations that have Christian in the name that were established on the gospel that are embarrassed about that name now. And so as we think about making the world a better place, we want to work through organizations that are unashamedly in love with Jesus, unashamed of Jesus, that they proclaim that He is the reason that we do what we do. And so that's one of the reasons I'm excited about Compassion International. Their motto is that they're Christ-centered, child-focused, and church-based. The second thing is that we hide our identity through sin. In verse 13, Jesus says, "You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again?" Jesus is making a point here because the word translated "losing your saltiness" means to become tasteless. But there's another meaning, and Jesus had both these meanings in mind. The other meaning is to become foolish. That we can hide our identity in Jesus if we live like we're not believers. That God made us to live holy lives, distinct lives, lives that shine, lives that are different. Not lives that are perfect, but lives that are marked by the Spirit of God. Amen? Tim Keller says, "In key ways, early Christians were startlingly different from their neighbors. And it should be no different today. Christians should be marked by integrity. Believers must be known for being scrupulously honest, transparent, and fair. Amen. And so sometimes we hide our identity by making choices that dishonor the Lord. Titus 1:16 says, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. And so Paul writes, everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. So if we want to make a lasting impact on this world, if we want the world to be a better place, then we cannot hide our identity. We cannot hide it through silence, and we cannot hide it through sin. Secondly, if we want to make the world a better place, we help people see God. This is in verse 16, one of my personal favorite verses in all of Scripture. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is a missionary verse. Do you see the main point of all this? He wants people that don't know God, people who are far away from God, he wants them to come and love him and praise him and delight in him and to be satisfied in him and to glorify the creator of the ends of the earth. And so this whole verse has this missionary impulse that the Lord wants those who are far away, no matter how far away, no matter how deep in sin, to come and recognize him. And the way they do that is through us living different lives. Good deeds, kind deeds, charitable actions make God visible to others. What are good deeds? They're observable, visible behaviors that honor God and help people. Like, you can see these things. That when we live this way, we are making God visible to other people. When someone is moved with compassion and helps someone who is hurting, other people notice. There's this emphasis on practically, concretely, tangibly helping those in need. You know, there's a lot of scriptures in the Old Testament about light. And Jesus might have had any of them in mind when he spoke these words. But it wouldn't surprise me if he was thinking of Isaiah 58:10. If you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. Jesus has always planned that for us to impact this world, we need the good news and good deeds. We need the gospel, and we need acts of charity that demonstrate that this God that we say that loves them is actually loving them here on this earth through the body of Jesus. Amen? That's why this is so important to Paul. He uses that phrase, good deeds, over and over again, especially in 1 and 2 Timothy and in Titus. In Titus chapter 3, verse 14, he says, our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order to provide for urgent needs and not live unproductive lives. Rodney Stark is a sociologist. He writes about early Christianity. And he said that one of the reasons that early Christianity exploded in growth was because of the way that they helped people who were suffering. You know, when we think of Rome, we have romantic notions, right? But when you realize what it was really like, it was far from romantic. It says Roman cities at that time had poor sanitation, contaminated water, They had high population densities and open sewers and filthy streets, that there were frequent illnesses and plagues. And these believers, instead of running from these cesspools, chose to stay there and minister to people who were hurting. And as they were the hands and feet of Jesus, people embraced the Christian faith. In fact, it was so startling that in the 4th century, the Emperor Julian complained, and he started pagan charities to compete with Christian charities. In fact, he wrote to a pagan priest and he complained. He said, "These impious Galileans," that is Christians. Isn't that interesting? Call them Galileans. "These impious Galileans support not only their poor, but ours as well." If we want to make an impact, then we have to meet real, visible, concrete, practical needs of people who are hurting, people who are in the margins, because the Lord uses this to touch lives. Finally, if you want to make the world a better place, you need to care about the whole world. So I want you to finish these phrases for me. Salt of the earth. Light of the earth. Now, we're so used to that, we don't even think about it, that Jesus didn't say, "You are the salt of Israel. You're the light of Jerusalem." No. He had a lot bigger idea in mind, right? He knew they'd be thinking too small. He knew we would be thinking too small. "You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world." And I say that because we as people are fundamentally selfish. Can I get an amen of agreement?
Amen.
We think about ourselves. We think about our families. We think about our communities. We think about our counties. We think about our cities. We think about our state. We think about our country, and very seldom do we have time to think about any place else. Even though the majority of people live outside of our country. Should we do things here? Absolutely. But we're foolish to think, if we think, "Oh, we've got to get everything fixed here before we go someplace else." You'll never go anyplace else. Right? And so when Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world," he's saying, "I want you to touch this world." And I tell you, in our day and time, the primary way that we touch the world is through organizations. Ray Griffin and I last month had the privilege of going to Guatemala with Compassion to see firsthand how they do ministry. And I knew about them and learned more earlier this year at a missions conference full of Southern Baptist missions pastors. And they highly recommended Compassion as a trustworthy partner that was doing good work. And so I talked with them and I could see that, yeah, I could partner with you. And so when we went, I was looking forward to seeing, what does this look like in reality? And near the end of the week, John, who led our group, said, "I want you guys to think of one word that describes what you've experienced." And the word that came to my mind was equip or empower. Because Compassion, when people give money, $38 to sponsor a child, that flows through a local church. Compassion empowers the local church to be a lighthouse to the community. You could see it. First of all, the church knows best which families are genuinely in the deepest economic need. Secondly, these children come to the church to get meals. They come to the church to get help with their schoolwork. They come to the church to learn about hygiene. If they have medical needs, they help them get those met. Ray and I went to this small tin home, and there was a mother with just a small newborn. And we learned that before she gave birth, that she would go to the church and they would give her prenatal classes to help her learn how to take care of her baby before her baby was ever born. Another group of us went to a house and saw a two-month-old that had had five heart attacks in its short life. And the mother wept and said, if the church and compassion had not helped us get medical care, we could not have afforded it, and that child would not be with us now. That compassion ministers holistically through the church. And most importantly, they tell them about Jesus. One night, two young ladies who had been helped with compassion when they were young shared about, they didn't know anything about Jesus. They were not believers until someone sponsored them, until they started going to this church, and this church was a refuge for them, that their sponsors would write them and tell them about Jesus, and they came to know the Lord because someone across the world cared about them. So compassion does this good work. And we showed this video. I want to encourage you to go out. It'll be here today. And what it really is you put on headphones and you have a phone, and it tells you to go to a room. And in that room, they've recreated parts of childhood for these kids, real kids, like where they lived, what it looked like, and if they were in a market, what that was like, and explains how their life was touched by the gospel. There's two people. I went through both of them, and I came out with tears in my eyes. So that's one way for you to learn more. Compassion is a great complement to what we do by supporting the International Mission Board. The International Mission Board plants churches all around the world. They're starting churches. What compassion does is work through existing churches to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. And when they say poverty, they don't just mean financial poverty. They mean also spiritual poverty, emotional poverty. And so in a moment, we're going to pray, and when you exit these doors, behind, there's tables near the bathrooms over here and over here, and if you're interested in sponsoring a child, you can go and look through them, and you'll find two kinds of packets. You'll see packets for children in Thailand, a few of those, because Compassion told us, they said, we really have a need for kids to be sponsored there. It's so far away that there's not very many trips that ever go or sponsors that could ever go. So would you help us by asking some of your people to sponsor them? And then the second kind of packet is those that are in Haiti. And I chose Haiti for two reasons. One, it's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. 24% of people who live there live in extreme poverty. Not poverty, extreme poverty, which is defined as that they live on less than $1.23 a day. And so if you see a child from Haiti, one of the things you can know without a doubt, that child actually needs this help. And they'll benefit from it. But the other reason I chose them is because we're going to take a trip there in July. Inside your bulletin, there's a half sheet of paper about a compassion trip to Haiti. We're going to take up to 25 people. That's a great trip, like if a parent or grandparent wanted to take a child, as long as they're 13 years or older, they could take them. And if you go and you sponsor a child from Haiti, the thing is, you're very likely to get to meet your child. When I went through the compassion experience the other day, I went through twice. I went through one, and I said, there was time, so I went through the other, and I was kind of teared up. But when I got out and looked at kids to sponsor, like, I was speechless. I just kind of had to turn my back on the people there just thinking about these kids. And so for me, I think about the little girl that I picked up that I want to meet next summer. And so if the Lord places it on your heart to sponsor one of these kids, first of all, you're going to touch their lives. But if you go on the trip, you actually might get to touch them physically. And I just wanted to point this out there. These packets are simple. You just take this bottom and fill it out, tear it off and turn it in. You just take the rest with you. And the rest of it you can do at home. One way I think about this is we can make a world a better place one child at a time. And this is a way to do that. Would you pray with me? I thank you, Jesus, that you're impacting people who just literally have no hope. Their future looks bleak. And you have a lot more for them than they can imagine. We pray, Father, that those here that you want to sponsor, you just lay it on their hearts. And that you'd use it, Father, to set kids free. Use it to help them be assured that you love them. In your name, amen.